Today in Christendom, this is what is known as Easter Sunday, Feast of the Resurrection of Jesus Christ. So why are we not joining the feast? We are, after all, firm believers in the resurrection of Christ. But did you know that there was a time in Christian history when individuals and communities separated from each other and issued excommunication against each other on account of disagreement on Easter date? Sila'y naghiwalay, nagtiwalagan sa isa't isa dahil hindi sila magkasundo sa petsa ng Easter. One view held that following the Jewish Passover, the date should be fixed on April 14. On any day that date falls. The majority, however, held that Easter should always fall on a Sunday, believing that it follows the gospel accounts. And when these two groups could not agree, they proceeded to excommunicate each other. Nagtiwalagan kasi hindi magkasundo sa petsa ng Easter. It is, I believe, a mark of immaturity when we are so taken up with externals like dates and ceremonies and external things like this rather than on the significance of the event. We celebrate the event. In fact, every Lord's Day is a commemoration of the fact that Jesus is risen, that He is on the throne. Tuwing tayo ay magtitipon sa araw ng Panginoon, hindi natin kailangan maghintay ng Easter para kilalanin at i-celebrate ang pagiging buhay ng ating Panginoon mula sa mga patay. So it is not the date that matters. It is not the feast that matters. Maturity means that we attach significance to the event itself and all the implications of the event. So let us do away with the immaturity of attaching religious significance to dates and feasts. And we must seek to develop that maturity that holds to the real significance of events and their implications on the Christian life. And we are in a series of expositions of a portion of Scripture where Apostle Paul is demonstrating Christian maturity. Ipinapakita niya ang maturidad ng isang mananampalataya. Now, I have explained time and again that 2 Corinthians 10 to 13 differ quite considerably from the earlier chapters 1 to 9 of the letter because the latter part, chapters 10 to 13, which is the focus of our exposition, is addressing that part of the church which has not repented. When Apostle Paul had a confrontation with a church in Corinth, he sent what he called a sorrowful letter. And when he heard from Titus in Macedonia, he heard that the majority of the church repented. And Apostle Paul was euphoric about that. And he sent the second letter to the Corinthians in order that the first part may address the repentant members. Yung mga miyembrong nagsisi sa iglesia, para sa kanila yung chapters 1 to 9 ng ikalawang Korinto. At dito'y makikita natin yung hinahon, yung pagpapalakas na ginagawa ni Apostol Pablo. Nanghihikayat siya na sila'y magpatuloy sa kanilang pag-ibig. But then, part also of Titus's news was that a minority remained adamant in the church. They were still rebellious towards the Apostle Paul. And chapters 10 to 13 are reserved for them. And so here you see a portion which is quite sharp and rebuking. And that is the explanation. It is for those people in Corinth, minority though they were, yet influential and occupying positions of leadership. And Apostle Paul felt the peril that these people post upon the majority of members in the Corinthian church. And so the tone of this portion is rebuking, sharp, and confrontational. But that's part of maturity, to know when to confront, to know when to use rebuke, to know when to confront with someone and address his sin. Now, one thing that Apostle Paul is compelled to do in this portion of the letter is described by the word boasting. Paulit-ulit ang salitang ito sa portion na ito at sa ating kapag narinig natin ang boasting, parang ang agad na sumisiksik sa isip natin ay paghahambog. Eh hindi po iyon ang ibig sabihin ni Apostle Paul. It's not bragging. Boasting is where you put your glory. And Apostle Paul, with reluctance, will be forced and compelled to do some boasting of his own, and yet he is explaining why he has to do it. And he gave us the umbrella reason, the overarching reason, which we saw in 10, 17, and 18, is for the glory of God. And ultimately, his boast is in the glory of God. But now we come to chapter 11, and let us read again verses 1 to 4. In the same text we had last week, but we will concentrate now on verse 4, 2 Corinthians 11, 1 to 4. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me. I feel a divine jealousy for you, for I betroth you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Verse 4, for if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. Now, as I explained last week, the actual boasting of Paul will not come until verse 16. Sa 11:16 siya, magsisimula talagang magsabi ng mga bagay na matatawag nating pagmamapuri. So 11:1-15 of 2 Corinthians is laying the ground. Pinapakita niya yung dahilan bakit siya napilitan na magbigay ng kanyang sariling pagmamapuri. Ay ito ang mga kadahilanan. And one thing that he gives as a reason, as a ground for the reluctant boasting he will be resorting to is in the words he uses here, godly jealousy. Now, like the word boasting, jealousy is something that immediately strikes a negative reaction in us. Pag sinabing seloso, eh, negatibo ka agad. Pero dito makikita natin yung karakter na ginamit ni Pablo, godly jealousy. May makadiyos na paninibugho. And the kind of jealousy that Apostle Paul is explaining here is that jealousy for the Lord Jesus Christ. The figure here is that the church is like the bride being prepared for the groom. He uses here an ancient practice known as betrothal. Wala na tayong betrothal ngayon. Engagement is a poor comparison because people get engaged and then a week or two following, they break up, hindi ganun pwede ang betrothal. Ang betrothal is a public commitment. A betrothal already makes a public ceremony of public announcement of pledge. That the bride is being pledged to the groom, and therefore she must be kept pure. Now, Apostle Paul puts himself in the position of the father of the bride. And so the jealousy of Paul is for the groom and for his daughter, which in this case is the church. Eh, yung kanyang paninibugho ay panatilihin at ingatan ang iglesia na malinis, alang-alang sa paghahanda para sa ating Panginoong Heso Kristo. And here we learned that a mature ministry is in fact moved by godly jealousy for the claims of Christ. Ang isang ministeryo na may maturidad ay merong makadiyos na paninibugho alang-alang kay Heso Kristo. But now we concentrate on the words of verse 4. It is a rebuke on the immaturity of the Corinthians for their failure to see the danger of the ministry of the detractors of the Apostle Paul. They were easily flattered. Ang dali nilang mainganyo sa ministeryo ng mga kalaban ni Apostol Pablo. At ang ginagawa rito ni Pablo ay binubunyag niya ang kamalian ng kanilang ministeryo at sa kabilang panig, yung kawalan ng paninibugho ng mga Korinto, ng mga taga-Korinto na hindi nila makita. Wala silang paninibugho alang-alang kay Jesucristo. They have no jealousy for Christ so that they allow the ministry of these detractors to have some headway in their thinking without realizing the error. Without realizing the peril. But what is the peril? And here, Apostle Paul uses three important words and the central issue for him is clear. He uses the word Jesus, the word Spirit, the word Gospel. Lahat yan ay napakahalaga, pero maliwanag kay Apostle Pablo yung order, the ranking. And I want to give the message in this way. A mature assessment of ministry takes into prior account its proclamation of Jesus. A mature assessment of ministry takes into prior account its proclamation of Jesus. Ang paninimbang ng ministeryong may maturidad ay isinasaalang-alang ang ipinapahayag na Hesukristo. Yun ang unang-unang titimbangin natin sa anumang ministeryo. The immature tends to assess popularity. The immature tends to assess personal, subjective, emotional response. Apostle Paul says, before those things, you must assess a ministry by its proclamation of Jesus. The major issue for Paul is Jesus. Now, notice here two words that Apostle Paul used. For Jesus, he uses the word another. Another Jesus. Yan yung ginagawa ng mga ministeryo ng mga kalaban ni Pablo. Another Jesus. But take note what happens when another Jesus is proclaimed. Twice, Paul uses the word different. A different spirit, a different gospel. Now let me explain. The word for another means something other of the same kind. Something other of the same kind. Whereas the word different is something of totally different kind. Now, what is Paul saying? The opponents of Paul were still using the same Jesus, the Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus of the Gospels. Yet, they are preaching him in a different light. Now, even if they are using the same Jesus, but proclaimed in a different light, the result, according to Paul, is first a different experience of the Spirit and a different profession of the gospel. So these are the two things that Apostle Paul is warning against any ministry that is not proclaiming the exact message of who Jesus is. And this is important today. Anong ginagawa ng pangangaral na hindi ang eksaktong Jesus ng kasulatan? Two things. First, another Jesus, and you can put in quotation marks the phrase another Jesus will falsify spiritual experience. Ang ibang Jesus ay mamaliin ang ating karanasang espiritual. Another Jesus will falsify spiritual experience. And secondly, another Jesus, again in quotation, another Jesus will nullify evangelical profession. Kapag iba ang Jesus, iwawalang sa isay ang pag-aangkin ng ebanghelyo. Kaya itong dalawang nangyayari kapag naiba ang Jesus. Kaya para kay Pablo, ang pinakamahalagang pagtitimbang ng anumang ministeryo ay anong Jesus ang ipinapangaral. If it is another Jesus, first of all, it results in falsifying spiritual experience. If you have another Jesus, Paul says it results in a different spirit. Now, unfortunately, most translations use the word spirit in small case. It should be big case because it is referring to the Holy Spirit. Ang tinutukoy dito ni Apostol Pablo ay ang banal na espiritu. It is not referring merely to an attitude or to a disposition. Paul is raising the whole issue of the Holy Spirit. How do you know it is the Holy Spirit who is dealing with you? Because this is the real crux of Christian experience. Paano mo nalalaman na ang banal na espiritu ang nakikitungo sa iyo? Paano mo nalalaman na ang karanasan mo ay galing sa banal na espiritu? And here is an important point. The Lord Jesus Christ is the basis and orientation of the Spirit's work in believers. Ang Panginoong Hesukristo ang batayan at pinag-uukulan ng gawa ng Espiritu sa mga mananampalataya. Gusto mong sukatin ang nararanasan ko ba, yung nararamdaman ko ba, udyok talaga ng banal na Espiritu, paano mo susukatin? At narito ang napakahalagang sukatan, kung ito'y mula sa Espiritu, ang pagbabatayan ay ang Panginoong Hesukristo at ang pag-uukulan ay ang Panginoong Hesukristo. Huwag mong timbangin sa lakas ng pakiramdam. Huwag mong timbangin sa sarap ng emosyon. Ang unang paninimbang ay batay ba ito sa Panginoong Hesukristo? And brethren, at no time is this teaching more important than now when there is so much charismatic attraction. Nobody will present himself among Christian teachers as being against Jesus. Everybody will say, I'm for Jesus. And this is what Paul is warning. Yes, they have a Jesus they proclaim, but it is another Jesus. The Jesus they teach and proclaim is another one. Perhaps, based on some of the problems exposed in the first letter to the Corinthians, their Jesus is a miracle-working Jesus. Eh, hindi ba't popular yan ngayon sa ating panahon? Si Jesus bilang tagahimala. Si Jesus bilang milagroso. At kung may mga problema ka, si Jesus bilang tagalutas ng problema. Sa iba naman, Jesus as moral teacher. One who will make you good. And still to others, very popular today, a Jesus with a political bent. A radical Jesus. A militant Jesus who will support militant activities and political revolution. You can have all kinds today of Jesus. And they offer a spiritual experience of some kind which they claim is of the Holy Spirit. And this is Paul's warning. If it is another Jesus, it is not the Holy Spirit Jesus sent. Kung ibang Jesus ang ipinapangaral, maaaring mayroong kang karanasang tatawagin mong espiritual na karanasan, subalit hindi yan ang banal na espiritu na isinugo ni Jesus. The Holy Spirit Jesus sent has a specific mandate that is centrally oriented to Jesus and based on what He has done. One of the most important instruction or words of Jesus concerning the Holy Spirit happened in what is known as the Upper Room Discourse. On the night that Jesus was going to be arrested, He gathered His disciples in the upper room. That's where they will spend their Lord's the Last Supper. And that's where Jesus gave some of the most important instructions concerning the Holy Spirit. Listen to this one. John 16, 13 and 14. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own. Mark those words. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me. Again, mark those words. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ. For He, the Holy Spirit, will take what is Mine, Jesus Christ, and declare it to you. Yun daw ang trabaho ng Espiritu. Luluwalhatiin niya si Jesucristo. Ang kukunin niya ay mula kay Jesucristo at ipapahayag niya. Ngayon, nakakadalo ka ng mga pagtitipon kung saan ang lagi na lang nababanggit ay ang banal na Espiritu. People are so taken up with the Holy Spirit and He becomes central. And mark my word, if you happen to be in that kind of assembly, immediately take it with strong suspicion. Because if it is really of the Holy Spirit will not be central. Jesus will be. Kung ito'y gawa talaga ng Espiritu, hindi ang Espiritu ang papagitna. Hindi ang Espiritu ang itinatanghal. Ang gawain ng Espiritu ay itanghal si Jesucristo. And this is the danger. This is the mark of the immature. The immature prioritizes internal feeling. He is easily deceived by subjective claims. And he can easily attribute such feelings to the Holy Spirit. And this is what we need to remind ourselves. The Holy Spirit is mandated to glorify Christ. Ang mando ng Espiritu ay luwalhatiin si Kristo. Mula sa gawain niyang manumbat ng kasalanan, magpanganak na muli at magpabanal sa lahat ng gawain niya ng Espiritu ay upang luwalatiin ang Panginoong Hesukristo. So we need to be very careful. In our day, the word spiritual is a favorite. People will claim to have spiritual experiences even though they renounce religion, especially the Christian faith. And what they mean when they speak of a spiritual experience is some kind of an emotional, sentimental high that carries them above the ordinary. Now, that is not spiritual in the New Testament. Hindi yan ang espiritual sa Bagong Tipan. To be spiritual is to have the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. That is why it is now my habit, whenever I write the word spiritual, I capitalize it. Just to take note that this is not spirit, small s, of the human spirit. Spiritual is big S, the Holy Spirit. If it is spiritual experience, it is of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't have to be some high of the sentimental kind. You may be under tremendous stress and you can be spiritual because of the Holy Spirit. This is the deception of the immature. Naghahanap sila ng napakasarap na emosyon para sabihin ito'y espiritual. Hindi ganun. Ang espiritual ay gawa ng espiritong lagi tayong ituro sa ating Panginoong Hesukristo. So how do you know it is of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is taken up with Jesus Christ. Assess your spiritual experience in that light. Are you really seeking the Holy Spirit to be present powerfully in your life? Be taken up with Jesus Christ. Kung kayo nakadalaw ng mga art museum, especially may mga antique paintings or great paintings, usually those artwork will have a special spotlight on them, both by way of inaalagaan yung painting as well as giving the right angle to that painting so that you can maximize your appreciation. So there's the spotlight to highlight the painting. Now, what would you say of a visitor who visits the museum and his whole attention is on the spotlight? Oh, kaganda ng spotlight. At doon ang kanyang pinansin ng gusto, yung spotlight. And he fails to see the function of the spotlight is to highlight the artwork. He should appreciate the artwork. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the spotlight. The artwork is Jesus. And if we are using the Holy Spirit rightly, if we are truly having a spiritual experience, it will spotlight Jesus for us. Ayan ang tanong. Now, that brings us back to the assessment of ministry. Measure a ministry by its truthfulness on Jesus Christ leading to a genuine spiritual experience. The immature seek a ministry that is popular, charismatic, influential in the worldly sense. But the mature will assess a ministry by its effectiveness in bringing home the truth of Jesus Christ. Not that we only get to know the doctrine of Christ. No, we're not after cold doctrinal academic knowledge. Rather, the knowledge of Jesus Christ in true doctrine, when powerfully applied, gives spiritual experience. Nagbibigay ito ng espiritual na karanasan. Anong karanasang espiritual? Para sa mga hindi mananampalataya, ang karanasang espiritual ay yung sumbatan sa kasalanan at ilagay sa karanasan ng maipanganak na muli, baguhin upang siya'y sumampalataya at makita niya si Hesukristo. Ang tanong ay, nagkaroon ka na ba ng gayong karanasan? Maaring natutuwa ka sa pangalan ni Jesus. Ngunit nakita mo na ba siya na Panginoon nang siya'y namatay sa krus at nabuhay mula sa mga patay upang maging tagapagligtas ng makasalanan? Nakita mo na ba siya ng gayon? Sapagkat ito ang gagawin ng Espiritu kung tunay na galing sa Espiritu. At sa mananampalataya naman, what is a spiritual experience? The major spiritual work in the believer is sanctification. Cultivating the holy life. But what is the holy life? The holy life is conformity with Jesus Christ. Cultivating graces like those of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kaya huwag nating timbangin ang ating spiritual na karanasan sa mga bagay na madamdamin, sentimento, emosyon. Are you still keen with your spiritual experience? Perhaps you are dominated by secular experiences, maybe commercial experiences, or even physical experiences. Where is your spiritual experience? Well, the spiritual experience must be assessed in the light of the truth of Jesus Christ. I have all the works of one of the greatest Puritans, John Owen. And sometimes I'm asked, what do I consider the masterpiece of John Owen? There are many that I can just suggest. But in any list of five, I will never miss one of his works with the title, The Grace and Duty of Spiritual Mindedness. The Grace and Duty of Spiritual Mindedness. Now, you might imagine John Owen, in maintaining spiritual mindedness, withdrew himself to some barren solitude in order to meditate on spirituality. Not so. He was a busy man. He was an administrator of a college in Oxford. And at one time of his life, a chaplain of Oliver Cromwell. He was a busy man and yet he could maintain spiritual mindedness. E ganun ang pagka-spiritual. Huwag nating iugnay sa sentimiento at emosyon. Ito'y may kinalaman sa pakikiugnayan sa ating Panginoong Hesukristo. So another Jesus will falsify spiritual experience, and you need to examine whether your experience that you claim to be spiritual is genuine. And the assessment is, where is Jesus in that experience? Secondly, another Jesus will nullify evangelical profession. Ang ibang Jesus ay magpapawalang saysay sa pag-aangkin ng ebanghelyo. Here at issue for Paul is the Corinthians' profession of the gospel. In fact, this is always the number one issue for Paul, the gospel. I often explain to you that of the 13 letters of Paul, in the 12, whatever the problem in the churches or individuals he was writing, he always saw something to be thankful for. He always thought of something to be thankful, except for one letter. And that one letter is Galatians. And why is that? Because the problem in Galatians is the gospel. And when the gospel is the problem, nothing will compensate for it. Nothing can be due thanksgiving if the gospel is compromised. So Apostle Paul makes the gospel a primary issue. But what is the gospel? The gospel is essentially and centrally focused on Jesus in his person and work. Ang problema na hinaharap natin ay tayo'y makasalanan. Kung wala tayong kasalanan, ay hindi natin kailangan ng ebanghelyo. Ngunit yan ang problema natin. Di ba yan ang sinasabi ng ating inawit kanina? The spirits that surround thy throne may bear that burning bliss, but that is surely theirs alone, since they have never known a fallen world like this. But how shall I, whose native sphere is dark, whose mind is dim, before the ineffable appearing on my naked spirit bear the uncreated beam? There's the problem. We are sinners, and we need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is about what He has done on the cross so that He may have a remedy to the condemnation of the law. Ay, diyan may iba muli ang Jesus ng mga ipinapangaral ngayon. They are presenting a Jesus about healing, Jesus about solving problems, Jesus about inner peace, Jesus for social activism, and that is another Jesus. And another Jesus means a different gospel. Kapag naiba ang Jesus, ibang-iba na ang ebanghelyo. Kaya nga't napakahalagang siguruhin natin ang pagkakatotoo ng Jesus na ating tinatanggap. I think we're all familiar with many kinds of reality shows, from Survivor to Amazing Race. I saw a different one a few days ago, a reality show about scams. Someone will make a scam of a person on hidden camera, and you will see this person really struggle whether to give up his money. And yet, for most of them, they would, on the hope that it will double in a very short while. At makikita mo yung mukha ng tao pag na-discover na niyang na-scam pala siya. Pero the reality show yun, ibabalik naman pagkatapos. So you can see the relief of this person once the money is returned. But he then learns from that bitter experience what scams will do. At least his money was returned. When you are scammed on the gospel, there's no money return. There's no soul return. It's eternal damnation. Kaya huwag tayong magpaloko sa mga bagay na may kinalaman sa mensahe ng Panginoong Jesus. And again, this brings us back to the ministry. Why we need to assess the ministry in a mature way. And one thing that we can do is join the efforts of ministry to advance the gospel of Christ to the world. Part of Paul's dismay is that instead of the Corinthians becoming his partners in mission, they were accepting, and the word Paul used is they were accepting readily the ministry of his detractors, which led them off tangent from the true saving gospel. And here Paul is expressing again his godly jealousy. Tinatangkilik nyo kaagad. Yan ang sinasabi niya. Tinatangkilik nyo kaagad ang mensaheng hindi ang totoong Jesus. Paano ko kayo magiging katambal sa gawain ng pag-iibanghelyo kung madali kayong magpadala, magpatangay sa ganyang mga mensahe? So Paul pleads as a father of the bride that they would walk arm in arm, so to speak, on the corridor of the wedding venue until he could bring the church to the arm of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it were, sa iba sumasama yung iglesia at doon naninibugho si Apostol Pablo. Ang kailangan magsama ang ministeryo at ang iglesia sa gawain ng ebanghelyo. The ministry is tasked to call the attention of the church to the priority of Christ in the gospel message, and the church should be responsive. The Corinthians were readily turned aside by the attractive message of the detractors. What about us? Oh, I count myself blessed and fortunate as a pastor because I know that I see this partnership in our church, which many pastors bemoan they lack in their church. But we can do more. We can exert more. Ours is a gospel partnership in the world. And if we will join together in this ministry of the gospel, the call is you and I must be both jealous for Christ. Godly jealousy. Tomorrow, April 9, is the death anniversary of a man whom you often hear from me, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. At a time that Germany was all but lost in the Second World War, Hitler had a case of malice that he decided to have those who he felt did not go along with him to be killed. They were in prison, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one of them. He was a pastor who stood up to Hitler at a time that many pastors decided to look the other way. But he lived by the motto of standing by the truth. In a letter he wrote to his sister, he said this while in prison: "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." Yung manahimik sa harap ng kasamaan ay kasamaan din. Ang hindi pagsasalita, para ka na rin nagsalita. At ang hindi pagkilos, para ka na rin kumilos. He was hanged on that fateful day of April 9, 1944. A camp doctor was present during the execution, and he wrote this as an eyewitness account. He said, "I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer kneeling on the floor praying fervently to God. I was most deeply moved by the way this lovable man prayed, so devout and so certain that God heard his prayer. At the place of execution, he again said a short prayer and then climbed a few steps to the gallows, brave and composed. His death ensued after a few seconds. In the almost 50 years that I worked as a doctor, I have hardly ever seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God." Well, this is the kind of composed confidence you and I need to exercise. In a time that there is so much false Jesus, we need to have that godly jealousy for the true Jesus that we want to advance. Let us sing our last hymn with that thought of doing what our forebears in the past have done with courage and confidence, facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. So we who rejoice to know thee, renew before thy throne the solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee known. Sana nga ito ang ating magiging panata na sa ating paninibugho alang-alang sa Panginoong Hesukristo. Hindi natin hahayaan na manahimik samantalang bula ang Jesus ang ikinakalat sa ating panahon. Let us have that courage to do the task that is yet unfinished. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, ibinigay dito ni Apostol Pablo ang napakahalagang pamantayan, sukatan ng anumang ministeryo. Hindi ito sinusukat sa popularidad, sa dami, sa kapangyarihan at impluensya, kundi ang pangunahing panukat ng isang may maturidad ay ang kapahayagan ng Panginoong Jesus. Indeed, we are warned that it is possible to use the same Jesus and yet give that message a different bent, a different light, and the result is a totally falsified spiritual experience. We pray that we may have that maturity to assess our experience not on the strength of emotion, not on the intensity of sentiment, but rather on the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus. So grant that we may have that maturity to know that the Spirit's work in us is based upon and oriented to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we will have the Holy Spirit's work truly powerful in our lives, we must be taken up with the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the assurance that we can have a spiritual experience without having the sentiment, without having the strong emotion, that even in the midst of stress and pressure, the spiritual experience can be there because Jesus is there. So grant that we may have a true spiritual experience and that we may assess the profit we derive from a ministry because of its proclamation. of the Lord Jesus. And here we are also warned that another Jesus can nullify gospel profession, and to the Apostle Paul, nothing can substitute for the primacy of the gospel. And grant that we may have the same standard of importance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Christ is not about giving inner peace. It is not about solving problems. It is not about social activism. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is about our problem with your law that has condemned us. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that which brings us before your wrath. And only Christ in his death and resurrection can remedy that problem of the law and of the wrath of God against our sin. So grant that we may be mature in this regard, that we may truly judge the gospel profession and the spiritual experience in the light of the truth that is in the Lord Jesus. Then we are called today to continue that godly jealousy that here the Apostle Paul exemplifies. May we have that godly jealousy for the Lord Jesus, that we will not be silent when the proclamation of Jesus today is so falsified and counterfeited. Grant that we may be voices that you will use in order to advance together the cause and message of the Lord Jesus in our day. So be with us. We give you thanks for this challenge, and make us faithful ministers, members who are keen on advancing the message of the Lord Jesus in this world. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.